May 20, 1927. A mud-soaked runway on Long Island. A 25-year-old pilot climbs into a plane so overloaded with fuel it can barely lift its wheels from the earth. 500 spectators huddle in the rain, many expecting to witness another death, not history. Just weeks earlier, French war heroes vanished over the Atlantic. Before that, a celebrated ace burned alive on takeoff. The ocean between New York and Paris had become an aviator's graveyard, swallowing the bold and the brilliant with equal indifference. Yet Charles Lindbergh gunned his engine anyway, the Spirit of St. Louis trembling under 450 gallons of gasoline, clearing telephone wires by mere feet as it clawed into gray morning sky. What happened over the next 33 hours didn't just win a prize. It rewired how humanity understood distance, courage, and what one person could accomplish alone. While competitors assembled multi-engine behemoths with crews and six-figure budgets, Lindbergh pitched St. Louis businessmen something radical: $15,000 for a stripped-down single-engine plane he'd fly alone. His logic was brutal. Every pound of co-pilot, radio, or backup engine meant less fuel and shorter range. He mounted a 425-gallon tank directly blocking his cockpit view, relying instead on a periscope and side windows. Critics dubbed him the flying fool, missing the method entirely. Lindbergh had survived 4 parachute jumps from disabled aircraft and flown mail routes that killed 31 of the first 40 pilots. He'd navigated storms so violent that hail stripped fabric from his wings. He understood risk intimately, which is why he eliminated everything unnecessary. In 60 days, Ryan Aircraft built his plane while Lindbergh worked alongside engineers, obsessing over every detail. This wasn't gambling, it was calculated audacity. 8 hours over the Atlantic, ice formed on the wings at 10,000 feet. A massive thunderstorm loomed ahead. Ice could disrupt airflow or choke the engine. Either meant death. Lindbergh executed a careful turn in darkness, fighting every instinct, and after 10 harrowing minutes, broke free into starlight. By hour 24, hallucinations began. Ghostly islands materialized and dissolved. Phantom passengers appeared beside him, conversing as if real. Nearly 2 days without sleep, his body was shutting down. He sang, shouted, slapped his face, anything to stay conscious. Once, the control stick slipped from his grasp as darkness closed in. He jerked awake just in time to pull out of a dive toward the ocean. In desperation, he descended to 10 feet above the waves, using speed and imminent danger to force himself alert. Flying at wavetop height in darkness over an ocean that had killed so many, because it was the only way to stay awake. This wasn't romanticized heroism. This was a man at the edge of human endurance, making impossible choices to survive the next moment. While Lindbergh fought the Atlantic, America convulsed with contradiction. Prohibition turned citizens into criminals while enriching gangsters like Al Capone. Women traded corsets for flapper dresses. Jazz scandalized parents as pathological, sex-exciting. And Hollywood produced 80% of the world's films despite condemnation as moral poison. The Immigration Restriction Act barred newcomers. The Red Scare gripped cities. The Scopes trial pitted science against fundamentalism. Beneath the glittering surface, something darker festered. Suicide rates had climbed 25% since 1913. Wages fell as consumer spending soared. World War I had shattered faith in progress. How could civilization advance after slaughtering millions in trenches? Americans grew cynical about government, disillusioned with religion, suspicious of traditional values. The culture hungered for someone embodying both the technological future and values of a simpler past, proof that individuals still mattered in an increasingly mechanized world. They would find that proof in the sky over Paris. After 27 hours of solitude, Lindbergh spotted Ireland's rugged coast through breaking clouds. Most remarkably, he was just 25 miles north of his planned route. After flying 3,000 miles across open ocean with no radio, no GPS, no electronic aids, using only basic instruments and dead reckoning, he'd navigated to within 25 miles of his target accuracy. Modern pilots with satellite guidance would struggle to match. Spiraling down over a small Irish town, he saw people running into streets, waving. He circled at 100 feet, waving back with joy and relief. His navigation had been so precise, he could identify Dingle Bay and Valencia Island from his charts. As he crossed the English Channel, Lindbergh reflected on how aviation was erasing the tyranny of distance. Where Caesar's legions, William the Conqueror, and Napoleon had crossed with military purpose, he now flew in peaceful technological triumph. As darkness fell over France, villagers who heard his engine pointed flashlights skyward, creating an impromptu pathway of light guiding him toward Paris. From 1,500 feet, Le Bourget airfield appeared as a dark rectangle surrounded by headlights. Lindbergh didn't realize over 100,000 Parisians had gathered below, the largest nighttime crowd ever assembled in France. As he descended, the headlights began moving. Thousands were surging onto the landing area itself. At 10:22 p.m. Paris time, after 33 hours and 30 minutes alone, the spirit of St. Louis touched French soil. Within seconds, faces blocked his cockpit windows. Souvenir hunters tore fabric from the aircraft. The mob yanked him from the cockpit and hoisted him horizontally above the throng. Two French pilots rescued him by pulling off his helmet and goggles, which ended up on an American named Harry Wheeler, leading to Wheeler repeatedly insisting to the ambassador, "I'm not Lindbergh," while the real aviator was spirited away in borrowed pajamas. After 63 sleepless hours, Lindbergh finally slept while the Western world exploded in celebration. 500,000 Frenchmen would watch him parade down the Champs-Élysées. 4 million New Yorkers would line streets for his ticker tape parade, the largest crowd ever assembled in the city. Lindbergh arrived when Americans desperately needed an authentic hero, someone embodying their highest ideals without scandal or cynicism. In this modest young man combining traditional values with modern technology, they found their symbol. Within a year, licensed aircraft in the United States tripled. Aviation investment soared 400%. Lindbergh used his fame wisely, touring all 48 states and Latin America to promote commercial aviation, giving 147 speeches that established crucial diplomatic air routes. His legacy would be complicated. The 1932 kidnapping of his son, his controversial opposition to World War II, his acceptance of a Nazi medal. Yet none of this diminishes what he proved on May 20, 1927, that individuals still matter, that courage and preparation can overcome impossible odds. The spirit of St. Louis now hangs in the Smithsonian, a silent witness to those 33.5 hours that changed everything. The true legacy isn't in museums. It's in every commercial flight crossing the Atlantic today, carrying passengers who take for granted a journey that once required extraordinary courage. In a world that tells us we're powerless without teams and institutional support, Lindbergh's solo flight whispers something different. Sometimes one person, properly prepared and absolutely committed, can change the world.